do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, running from the Bulls, Raptors rapture, Warriors working the phones, West All-Stars, and the Suns have been set free. Today is December 22nd, National Short Person Day. Jay, would you like to give a shout out to a short person?
Shout out to Kemba Walker back in the league.
Hey man, played pretty well that first game back, or that maybe the third game back.
He kind of looked like he had a burst. Kind of looked like he had a burst. He was getting by dudes.
The knee's looking okay. The knee's looking all right so far. Marcus, do you have a shout out to a short person?
Absolutely, to my wife. She's 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, but the biggest figure in my life.
Yeah,
the reason I am the man who I am.
My man just described his wife as Rudy. He just described his wife.
Crazy. I didn't know she listened. I don't know why.
5 foot nothing, 100 nothing without a speck of athletic ability.
That's why I can say it. She's not listening.
All right, let's get to our two contestants in this corner. The most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He rides Celtics.
2022.
He reps Kings, and he still believes in Kevin Pitsnoggle, Luke Herangode, and anybody else who flamed out on their way to the basketball tournament. Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
I watch It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas Eve and cry every year. And that just does it for me.
Wow.
Big George Bailey guy.
I've never been more impressed with you than right now, Jay.
Do you do the same, Marcus?
George Bailey is
the humanity in that.
Is the worst.
Wait. George Bailey's the worst?
Awful. Awful.
What's wrong about
it? This is like people not realizing that Kevin McAllister is a serial killer in Home Alone. Like a future serial killer. There's a darkness in there that I do not like and I do not trust.
You're saying Kevin McAllister is Dexter?
So what did George Bailey do that bothered you so much?
What didn't he do? It's his whole personality. Get him out of here. Hack.
I mean, I totally disagree.
Name one good thing about George Bailey.
He saved his brother's life.
Oh, barely.
He saved Gower's life. Gower would have been in jail. Gower would have been a wreck.
We don't know what's going to happen after that. He may have put hundreds of thousands of people in danger because he intervened, because he thought he knew better.
He saved the entire town from Potter, who...
Who knows what Potter would have done?
Potter would have absolutely just destroyed the entire town.
And a town that is fledgling as an economy is now continuing to fledge.
George Bailey made sure that he made no money so that everyone could buy a house in
the
his
real
community.
Look at me, Louis situation, man. He's just that he does everything for the wrong reasons. And in this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay has ever seen. He's written 3 books with ridiculously long titles you can find in any bookstore anywhere. He's the friend from Frisco. He's the bro from Berkeley. He puts the sauce in Sausalito. The media in Alameda. The AO in Vallejo. The Petty in Petaluma, but most importantly, he's the OG from Oakland. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Ripping on the holiday tradition.
Wow. Not a wreath guy, huh?
Not a wreath guy. Not a faux joy guy. Not a fake love guy. Not
bah,
a
humbug man.
All year, but I'm going to give you a gift like you matter to me type guy. Mm-hmm. Not a, I was thinking about you at the last minute, but I only had $10. Here's a gift guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm against all of that.
Wow.
All of it.
Merry all Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa from Marcus S. Thompson. Clearly.
Yeah, let's rock with it. If I didn't see you in July, don't holler at me on Christmas.
But we're all like working from home now and stuff. What do you mean? You know, not everyone's out and about.
I'm just saying, man. Here's my favorite. I'll give you a better one. Since I don't want to be my favorite holiday tradition is covering the NBA on Christmas Day, because then I don't have to go to 8 houses and act like I want to see people. So all I can just say, hey, I gotta work.
We can check that banter box off right
my
there.
Man, can't wait to see Ty Jerome versus Ja Morant
start
on Christmas.
The clock. I do want some Ty Jerome. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Levine
better than
running
like I like rum cake.
Levine running from the Bulls. The Bulls are off to a very disappointing 12-18 start this season. They're horrible in the clutch. They're on the outside looking in with the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference as we record this. Our own Darnell Mayberry and Shams Charania wrote of the growing frustrations of Zach LaVine, quote, "Multiple league sources and sources close to the organization say LaVine and the Bulls are not seeing eye to eye. Over the past few weeks, there's been a palpable feeling across various parts of the franchise of a disconnect over LaVine's situation in Chicago. All of this has been happening with LaVine in the first year of a five-year, $215 million max deal that was signed in the summer. Marcus, do Zach LaVine and the Bulls last through the trade deadline?"
They do not. They absolutely do not.
Oh, Golden State Warriors?
Not. Yeah, I don't know. They taking Clay? That's a lot of money.
They like guards who don't play any defense, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing, right? The Bulls are currently a play-in team at best, and they're fading fast. And it's not like he's balling, right? It's not like he's working this out. And the other option is to get rid of somebody else. But there's just no sense in paying all that money to be a play-in team with no prospect for future growth. So I don't know if it actually gets done, but it should, right? Like, they're over the cap. They don't have a place to go. This is supposed to be it. And we saw the best of them perhaps last year, the first half of last season. But if you got issues with DeMar DeRozan and the locker room is not really filling them, like, they're going to have to change something. It's just not working. It's Chicago, and the East is too deep to just sit, stand pat. Like, before long, they'll be passed by the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, that's coming. I mean, Jay, it's crazy how bad the Bulls are on offense, considering their team.
Oh, why? Why? They have two guys who are bucket getters. They have Vucevic, who's empty calories, and they have a whole bunch of dudes who aren't very good at basketball. These problems should be expected. They need Lonzo Ball. They need that connector. When Lonzo Ball and Caruso were on the court next to LaVine and DeRozan, everything made sense because those two guys fly around. Those two guys can be the defense for you. Those two guys can connect to guys whose primary goal is scoring. And now that they don't have Lonzo, every flaw has been exposed. The craziest stat of this whole season, Zach LaVine, like, the freakiest of freaks, the bounciest of bouncy guys, has one block this whole season. One. If I played as many minutes as Zach LaVine, I would have lucked it to at least one block.
And what's crazy there is that block was against DeMar DeRozan. Blocked his own team.
but I'm just saying, like, I don't think anyone should be surprised by this. Without Lonzo, this team just isn't deep enough. There's no identity there. They don't have the types of players who, like, lift up the guys around them. There are just a lot of flaws on that team. And LaVine, I don't see him getting traded. He's in the first year of a five-year, $215 million contract. Well, also, he's like, in Bradley Beal territory.
He's also, like, his knee is bad. Like, he's not bouncy this year. He's not athletic this year. Like, his knee is not fully healed, it doesn't seem like. And he's just, that quickness is gone. And so, one, the contract makes it tough. Two, he's really good, but is he good enough to want the next 4 years of that deal? And then three, like, is he going to be the athlete that got him that deal? I don't know. He's had a couple of, like, big knee injuries.
Yeah, but he's 27, though. I think that's his salvation, right, is that he's still considered young. You know, he's still entering the prime of his career. We've seen him just as soon as last year be, you know, good. Like, he looked like a player who can get you some buckets.
Yeah.
I think he's good enough to convince a team to do it. That salary is crazy, but I just feel like we're headed there anyway. Like, we're almost to a point where 37 is going to be the new 22, right? Like, the salaries are just – they're not going down, so – he's going to be at $48 million and at 31 at 26, 27. Well, and it won't be a bargain, but there will be a lot of dudes with that number at that point, I think.
They might go down after this lockout. I don't think we're getting a lockout.
I don't think we have a choice, man.
Look at the money that's about to come in.
You're selling teams for $4 billion and then talking about we don't have money for players.
That's tough.
It's trending it's that way, right?
I mean, they didn't extend that deadline of the opt-out because things are going well.
February, right?
Yes. If you're about to hammer out a deal, you're like, oh, we need another week. They're like, 2 months. We need 2 months here. It's not a good sign.
Nothing gets done during holiday season. You need a little grace period.
Why ever book it in the first place during holiday season?
That's a good point. All right, take two. Rapture the Raptors? Oh, my beloved Toronto Raptors. They're struggling this season. They're losers of six straight, 3-12 on the road. They've struggled shooting the basketball. They're 28th overall in three-point percentage. They can't make shots. So what should the Raptors do? Our own Eric Kareen writes about what would constitute blowing it up. Quote, trading Fred VanVleet, a first-time All-Star last year, who is shooting poorly this season and will likely hit free agency at age 29 in the summer, not blowing it up. Trading OG Anunoby, a tremendous defensive player with a solid utility as a tertiary scorer to add some draft picks and or increase depth, not blowing it up. Trading Siakam, a two-time All-NBA player who is playing some of his best basketball ever. Yep, that qualifies. Without him, the premise of the Raptors evaporates. So, Jay, you are now Masai Ujiri. You're running the Raptors. What do you do?
I think I trade guys, but he's in a really tough spot because they have a number of guys I would want around long term, but who just aren't good enough together to get it done. And this mix, like, it just offensively just does not work. They are, I think, 15th in offensive rating. It's only because their transition is so good. In the half court, they're 29th. They have their top nine guys in minutes played. Not a single one of them is shooting 35% from behind the arc. That's almost impossible. Like, how do you not have one guy shooting 35%? And Pascal Siakam is 34.9, so he's very close. But, like, it just doesn't work on offense. And, like, I would want a lot of these guys around. If you can get, like, a premier wing scorer around these guys, like Siakam, Scottie Barnes, VanVleet, OG Anunoby, they're all good players. And that's why it's going to be really tough to, like, calculate for Masai Ujiri, whether it's blow it up or look to surround those guys with pieces that fit better and see what they can be when they actually have a competent offense.
Marcus, what would you do if you're the Raptors?
What's the point of loading up on the position if you're not going to cash in anything, right? I mean, how many 6'7" to 6'9" wings do they have? And how many
Everyone should be 6'8" to 6'9".
Yeah.
They don't want to cash in those chips.
It's not working.
At some point, you need people who can play basketball and put the ball in the bucket.
At some point, I mean, I understand it. But the thing is, that's what's so valuable.
Right.
That's what's valuable. Now everybody wants that. You can get more for them than you get on the court with them. So why not cash in at least one of those chips? You don't need Siakam and OG Anunoby and Scottie Barnes. Like, Scottie Barnes is that dude, right? Mm-hmm. He gave you the luxury.
He's kind of had a tough season.
Yeah,
I agree he's that dude, but like,
here's all we need to know about the Raptors, right? They're one of the Warriors' three road wins and Seth Curry was not playing. Like, they literally lost.
Come on, man. Don't do that to them. I know I'm in the bag for the Raptors here, and so I'm trying to be as unbiased about this as possible, but they're shooting on open and wide open threes this year. They're shooting 33%. I just don't believe they're that bad of a shooting team. Like, Gary Trent Jr., Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. I don't believe they're this bad of a shooting team. I think those shots start falling. I mean, Jade, to your point, they're good in transition. They don't turn the ball over. They get to the free throw line. They are great at offensive rebounding.
They force turnovers like crazy.
Yeah, they just don't make jumpers right now, and I think eventually those jumpers are going to fall. I might be wrong, but like, I look at it as this is a tough stretch, because even for the season, they've lost six in a row. They're four games under 500 as of this recording, and they still have a positive net rating on the season. Like, this is a good team.
They're due for some progression to the mean. Yeah. But that said, some of it is just like, you can't just put a ton of dudes out there who can't shoot, because it makes everything. Part of the reason Scotty Barnes is having a tough year, there's no space. Yeah, that's a dude who's huge. Fucked. It's like, they literally, there's nobody who can shoot on this team. And yes, Van Vliet will probably shoot a higher percentage. Gary Trent will probably shoot a higher percentage. But like, Pascal Siakam's biggest flaw, maybe his only real flaw, is like, he's just not a knockdown shooter. And they don't have anyone around him that is a knockdown shooter, right now at least, because Van Vliet has been better in the past. I just don't think the mix is right. I do think like, they're better than they perform. To have a positive net rating and be 13-18 is just bizarre. Like, that's just weird. It's bad luck.
But we know the issue is bad enough, because they're playing like Malachi Flynn and Fred VanVleet together.
What we're not going to do is throw a San Diego State Aztec legend under the bus.
No, he's good, but they have to sacrifice it. He's 6 foot one, whatever, right? Well,
man, Him and Fred VanVleet together? That might be generous.
Fred VanVleet together, they have to do that because they got to get some shooting on the floor. Like, so they almost have to go against their own plan of everybody being 6'9". They got Fred VanVleet and then 6'1 guy, just because you got to get some kind of space.
I think it's clear what Marcus is saying. Get Fred VanVleet out of there. Turn it over to Malachi Flynn, San Diego State legend. Hey, guys.
Hey, he's good.
The baseball season may be over on the field. Oh, but that hot stove is fired up. Be sure, check out all the latest rumblings and grumblings on the Athletic Baseball Show. You don't want to wait just for Marcus Thompson to be on the radio to talk about it. You want this podcast, which features some of the best writers and thinkers in the game. Ken Rosenthal, Jason Stark, Doug Glanville, Eno Saris, Keith Law, Andy McCullough, Tim McMaster, among so many others. It's right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Back after this. And we're back. Take three. Warriors working the phones. Oh, my goodness. The Golden State Warriors going to be without Steph Curry for the foreseeable future, and it's not pretty. They lost 132-94 against the red-hot Knicks on Tuesday night, which was a bad one. It's clear this squad will not be able to get it done without Steph. Warriors have lost six of the last eight. Three of those eight games were without Steph Curry. Our own John Hollinger had this to say about the Warriors' predicament. Quote, suddenly they're the ones who should be burning up the phones. Even as most potential trade partners drag their feet, the Warriors should be pushing to get something done long before the deadline. So Marcus, we ask you, should the Warriors be in panic mode? Should they be looking to trade their young bridge pieces for win now players?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this a while ago. That two timeline thing is done.
It's tricky.
And not because these players aren't good, right? Or don't have the potential. They could be good. Like, Kuminga shows flashes. Even Wiseman shows flashes. I still think Moses Moody is a good player. That's not the issue. The issue is these dudes were supposed to replace Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. They were supposed to be stars of the future.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a baton handoff so they could not. Joe Lacob's thing is, I don't want to be the Lakers. I don't want to, like, everybody losing. Now I'm out of the playoffs for 7 years, right? They were supposed to carry this team when Steph Curry was done. That is clearly not happening with these guys. Not anytime soon, right? Like, that, it's just not happening. So why stick to it? Pick a couple, make them rotation players, and go and use the others to go find you something, go get you somebody. Like, to me, that only makes sense. You owe Steph Curry that. Like, this dude is 35, about to be 35, and you literally, not only can you not win without him, you can't stay in the game without him. When he's off the court, they're the worst team. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, like, you owe Steph Curry to go get somebody. Not because they're not, I'm not saying Jay, I'm not saying they're not talented players, I'm not saying they won't ever be nothing, but their whole purpose. They got five first-round draft picks. The whole point was, when Steph Curry's gone, we can't leave the cupboard bare.
Right.
If Steph Curry walks out this joker, that cupboard is bare as hell. And they might as well just go get somebody now.
Well, let's do the tough thing, Jay. It's easy to be like, oh, yeah, package Moody and Wiseman and see what you can get. Should they throw in Kuminga? Should Kuminga be the guy that they're dangling out there to go get somebody?
he's the only guy they have who has any value at all. Let's be honest here. They waited too long to pull the trigger on a trade for their young guys because Wiseman, you can't even hoodwink a team into thinking James Wiseman is good. They've sent him to the G League. They plummet every time he's on the court. It is very clear he's
man,
just
he has some good G League numbers, man. Are you not looking at the stats, man? He's
flipping. Everybody has good G League numbers.
Man, Luka Garza is a problem in the G League, man.
Yeah. He doesn't compare to Luka, the real Luka.
Hold on. Wait a second. He does not have good numbers in the G League. He's like 18 and 10. He should be dominant. Yes.
18 and 10 is good.
18 and 10 is like 2-1 in the league.
Wilt. You can spend 18 and 10. You can spend that's 18 like and
not
10.
Even not even a single assist, half an assist a game.
But they waited too long. Kuminga's the only one who has real value right now, and that's just all there is to it. Like who could they realistically get if even if they package all those dudes together?
Well, hold on. We just talked about it was Pascal Siakam a guy they should go get if he's gettable. Like if what
I don't
know,
think
what
he's
saying
gettable.
Is like,
if you can get him, you go get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can go get Siakam, go ahead and get him. But they're the play of the young guys. It should be abundantly clear to Golden State now. If it wasn't before, and clearly it wasn't before, those guys are not good enough for right now. Yeah. They're not good enough to help this team win, and they're not promising enough to risk whatever's left of this core to keep those guys around and build around the future guys. Like, you can't build toward a future that's bleak. Like, you can't just turn yourself over to these guys who might not be able to play, except for I do think Kuminga's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think Kuminga can play.
It's not like they're young and it's like, yeah, you got to – like, there are second-year players in this league who are very clearly, like, those dudes.
Yes.
Like, it's not like, oh, they're just under – like, no. Nah, like, you can see when a guy is that dude. You can see it. And, you know, you can see a little bit of it in Kuminga. It's going to take a while. But if it's Evan Mobley on this team, it's a whole different conversation.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you know, so it's not like – there's just like, ah, you got to wait for it. You can already know – right now, this early, if these dudes are those dudes.
Yeah.
And they're not the dudes that are going to – they're not the dudes that are going to replace Steph Curry. That's
and you also know that this core just won a championship. Steph is still, when he's healthy, at as high a level as any player in the league. So if you continue to put these eggs in the future basket, you are ruining a core that still has championship potential. And that, to me, is just bad business.
Also, I just don't believe in the whole, like, oh, the cupboard's going to be bare. Like, the cupboard was bare for the Nets, and they had, like, two really bad years, and then they were fine. Like, you can build an organization with some kind. Like, the Lakers haven't had stability and intelligence as this building, you know, as this consistent building force in the organization. That's why it was so bad for them. That's why
it wasn't because there weren't players out there, right?
Right, exactly. Like it's that they had no plan. Like, I think as long as Bob Myers is there and that front office is there, you can trust that. Yes, even if they end up with a bare cupboard when all this is said and done, you can go fill that cupboard up pretty, not easily, but like, you know, pretty decently.
And it's worth ending up with a bare cupboard.
Yes,
these guys just won a championship. They just won a championship.
Even if you get only one more championship out of it, that is always worth it. Always go for the championship.
Yeah. No question.
All right. Coming up after the break, Western Conference All-Stars. Take 4, All-Star voting. # NBA ballot, or I don't know what the hell it's going to be. Whatever the hashtag is, you can tweet it, you can vote, and do they count them? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they do to me. I kind of think some of these numbers are made up, but that's a conversation for a different day. All-Star voting is here. There's some interesting choices for the fans to make, particularly for starting guard spots in the West. Luka Doncic, Ja Morant, Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jay King, dare I even say, De'Aaron Fox, all playing at potential all-star levels. Schleck put that in there, not me. For them.
I'm glad you had to put Fox in there.
After that, we're going to get four more guards at most added to the Western Conference All-Star player pool by the coaches or their assistant coaches, depending on how little they care about the voting process for this honor. That means at least one of those guys is getting left off the All-Star squad, if not more. So, Jay, who would you have starting at the guard positions in the Western Conference?
So I'm throwing Luka into the front court just because there's too many guards.
Nope.
And
nope.
Luka's
Jay.
Yes,
no
you can put him in the front court.
No loophole.
You can put him in the front court.
Quit being a coward.
That's not a coward. That's just an intelligent move.
Hey, man, he's, I think he's a guard on the ballot. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I think you can vote him for both.
Then the NBA, the NBA is cowardly.
Throw him in the front court, and then Devin Booker needs to be
Book's
on
gotta
there.
Book's got to be there, yeah, man.
Devin Booker has had such a great year for a team that really has been missing pieces this year. Like, Chris Paul was out for a lot of the time. Jay Crowder hasn't played at all. Cam Johnson has been injured. Chris Paul, even when he's healthy or on the court, hasn't been his normal self. And Devin Booker just has them still right in the thick of, you know, in the running for top seed in the West. So, to me, Booker has played the most impactful basketball of anybody on that list, not named Stephen Curry. And I'm not going to put Curry in that starting spot just because he's going to miss so much of the season before the All-Star.
Weeks. What are you talking about?
He's clearly, if he played enough time, the starter.
He's played enough time.
Then we'll put him in there. But
he's gonna miss 10 games. That's not that bad, man.
You're right. No, you're right. You guys talked me into it. Stephen Curry and Devin Booker.
But who are you
gonna
put in instead of Steph? Who are you gonna put in?
I was gonna put in Ja.
Okay. Yeah.
Ja was gonna be my pick there. Because he's another guy. Like, that team has been. Jaren Jackson missed a while. Desmond Bane has missed a while.
Dylan Brooks has played a lot.
Ja. You got to give Dylan Brooks his credit, man. That dude has heart. That dude that dude is bold. That dude is as bold as they come.
Jay's two favorite players are Mo Wagner and Dylan Brooks.
No, see, you guys think Dylan Brooks is my favorite player just because I'll back him in the group chat.
You won't shut up about him.
You guys are way too down on Dylan Brooks. The dude is an absolute maniacal competitor.
We're talking all-stars. We're clearly not talking Dylan Brooks. Marcus, who are the two guards you'd vote in to the Western Conference starting spots?
Yeah, I'm like incredibly tempted to throw Shea in there, but I agree. It's Steph and Booker, just because.
So you're going to be a coward too and put Luka as a front court.
Yeah, you know, I just looked through the votes. I don't think you can vote for a front. I don't think you can vote for a front court.
Oh, you can't. I think our headline select is Jay King passes on Luka Doncic as starting Western Conference All-Star guard.
So do you pick Booker or Doncic?
I'm picking Booker.
Or Steph. Like, that's an insane conversation. Just throw Luka in the front court. Why are we still doing this? Best 12.
Like, it's so dumb,
this is how
man.
This is how you end up with Andrew Wiggins as a All-Star game starter.
Whoa, that's NBA champion Andrew Wiggins. That's MVP, Finals MVP runner-up Andrew Wiggins. What are you talking about?
Why are they hating on the international vote, by the way? What's with this? You got to do it on the, you know, so what? Wiggins got K-pop votes?
Well, Marcus, we do have a bit of a history of some international influences in voting processes in this country.
Zaza almost made it, man.
It's a global game, baby. It's a global game.
Which game are we talking about?
I'm just saying, if BTS want to put a dude in an All-Star game.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You gotta suck up to BTS. You want to? I mean, it's part of the game.
Oh, you cannot vote Luka in the front court.
Good. He's not a front court player. He's a guard.
Then I'm going.
Now, will I use that loophole when it's presented as all NBA option? Of course I will.
I'm going with Luka and Devin Booker then. Got to be Luka, Devin Booker. And Steph comes off the bench.
I think that's fair because of Steph missing games. Now Steph missing games, I think, factors in where Luka and Book are deserving of that honor.
Why can't we just put Luka in the front? I'm stepping in as Adam Silver, and there's no bigger draw in this league than Steph Curry, and he will be starting the All-Star game.
That's an excellent point as well. Sorry, Pookie. I don't think you're getting this one.
TNT has jumped in and said, hey, hold on.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. You wanted us to move to Tuesday nights, and we said nothing. Now you're not going to let Steph start this All-Star game? You better get
Steph
that.
Luka will be starting the All-Star game.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen.
6 minutes into this game.
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Anthony Davis is going to get voted a front court starter, but is not going to be able to play in the game. They're going to have to name a replacement. They're going to have all three as a starter. I can see it clearly.
I can see that.
I can see it clearly.
So Booker gets that injury replacement.
The coveted injury replacement.
Like he'll be voted in by the coaches, but then he gets to go into the starters.
Where is the All-Star game? Utah, right?
SLC? Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I feel like, I mean, Steph and Luka is who everybody wants to see. As great as Devin Booker's been, and they've been exceptional too. It's not like it's like honorary.
Yeah.
So they definitely don't have the supporting cast. You know, they're both play-in teams at this point.
Yeah,
but they've been exceptional, and they're just both incredibly fun to watch. And I think that does matter in All-Star, even though Booker is deserving to start.
I just gotta say,
that was extremely rude the way you cut me off on my Dylan Brooks tangent, but it was absolutely the right call. We had to stop that before I got off.
I don't care if it wasn't the right call.
It was the right call. I'm on board.
I back myself on that no matter what. All right. Hey, speaking of Devin Booker, take five. The Suns are set free. Oh my goodness. On Tuesday, it was reported that billionaire mortgage lender Matt Ishbia and his brother Justin, wow, how'd they get their money, have agreed to purchase a majority stake in the NBA's Phoenix Suns and WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. The team announced Tuesday the agreement values the Suns and Mercury at a estimated $4 billion. That's a million with a B. Here's what you need to know. The deal involves the sale of more than 50% ownership of the teams, including all the majority owner Robert Sarver's interest and a portion of the minority partner's interest. Sarver initiated the sale process for the teams in late September. And of course, the second you Google Ishbia's company, you find out there, you know, maybe some toxic workplace allegations in there. But hey, I'm sure the NBA has Google. I'm sure they already knew this stuff. I'm sure they vetted it really well. So Marcus, what does this change for the Suns in the short term and the long term?
It in the short term, gets the Sarver topic off the off the front page, right, or out of their, you know, sphere of their realm. Like they could just say, hey, he's not our thing anymore. And I don't know how much of a weight it was hanging over them, but you know, he was still there, and as long as he's there, there's potential for him to do something else. Or another one, Baxter Holmes is gonna find something else, right? Like as long as he was there. So I think that does the thing. I know there's a sentiment that, you know, people will now start signing with them. They'll have the money. So I think in a bigger sense, it puts them in play to be able to spend. I just don't know how many people are going to choose that, right? They're going to say,
right,
this is my premier, like, this is where I want to go. So I don't know how much that changes that, but the money will be there. I think the bigger thing this does is for the league. Like we talked about a little bit before, like, this is the thing, man. Like, I'm starting to think maybe it's time to lift the luxury tax, because if you don't want to pay it, I mean, this thing is designed to keep the big spenders from dominating the market. But if you're a small spender, maybe you should just sell the team to a billionaire. And
yeah.
that's the league now, right? Like, there's no more crying poor mouth when you can just go get billions, right? So it definitely brings up some of those issues that, Like you pointed out, Zach, might have some impact on this CBA coming up.
Yeah. Interesting, the guy that covers the Warriors wants the luxury tax lifted. Jay, what do you think this does for the Suns?
Hey, my money, I don't care. I'm all against that. Oh, we ain't got no money. Like, Jay, that dude bought the team for $400 million. And sold it for $4 billion in less than 20 years.
You know what's crazy? It's crazy is that you think about the Kings being sold in 2013 for what was it, like 530 something, right? And now I mean, it's already four times the value. And I bet if you sold the, I bet if Vivek sold the Kings, he gets more than $2 billion for it. Like
it should be worth 10.
All right, Jay, what's another take you have on this situation?
I mean, the beam.
You know what? The beam's got to be $5 billion.
The beam
I'm with
has
you.
$5 billion yeah. itself. Baby.
Yeah, the beam is worth a lot.
The beam has
it's
so
crazy.
Much value.
I do love. I do like. I don't. Despite what people in Sacramento think, I don't give a shit about the Kings one way or another, bad or good. I do like this beam though. I like the chain. I think is corny as hell, but the beam is cool. I like the beam.
And it was such a risk because if they were bad, it was going to be an absolute mockery.
Absolute risk.
It was a bet that the Kings were going to be at least good for the first time ever.
Or at least the first half.
And they've won the bet so far.
Yeah.
The victory beam is awesome. This is huge for the Suns, though. Like, they have won in spite of Sarver. They have succeeded in spite of him. He has held them back for years and years and years. Steve Nash years. Things would have been different. Like, This is just enormous for the franchise. I have no idea what the new owner will be like, but considering the money that he put up to purchase them, it seems like he's going to mean business. And it just frees them to possibilities that wouldn't have existed with Sarver. So,
yeah, I think...
And that's on top of getting rid of the workplace, some of the workplace environment issues at least.
James Jones and his staff in the front office have to be loving this, right? No more penny pinching, like no more any of that stuff. Like, or I would assume. I guess I'm assuming there should be a
salute to James Jones, by the way.
Yeah.
Could anyone have dealt with and Monty, the players, like could anyone have dealt with that as well as they did throughout the whole situation?
I think, look, I'm just Chris really Paul impressed. Gets a lot of shit, but I do think Chris Paul's a huge influence in that, right? Like, he makes, like, he's good at, he's got history of handling
stuff
this stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Man. Yeah,
he handles,
he does,
like, he complains on the court, he flops, like, get all that, but he handles that stuff really well.
He's not going to allow you to be focused on anything except basketball.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, or.
Also, I have a theory. But
DeAndre Ayton and Bridges, that was quite a spat the other day.
That well, but that's fine, man. I don't think that's a big deal. That
I
happens.
Enjoyed it.
It just happened.
It always seems to be DeAndre Ayton in the middle of it, though, which is concerning.
Yeah, that is. I didn't
like.
Care that
it's
much.
Just a pattern with.
I like because I didn't know he cared that much. By the way, I'll leave you guys with this.
Wait. You know who I'm hoping this is big for? Actually,
who?
Skylar Diggins-Smith.
Oh,
Diana Taurasi.
Oh, yeah.
I hope this ends up being big for my Phoenix Mercury.
Your Phoenix
and,
Mercury.
In a pursuit of a championship. Oh, come on, man! I've been riding with Diana Taurasi for years.
This is the first I've heard of this. I've been riding with Taurasi for years. Like this
that's because you don't pay attention.
No,
I'm talking back.
No,
I'm talking
no.
back when her ex-wife was her teammate, Penny
nah,
Taylor,
man, you don't
and
even
Bridget
know.
Pettis was
you
running
even
point.
No, man.
Yeah, come on, baby.
She
don't,
built
don't
that UConn program. She built it, not Gino.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, she built that shit, not
I mean,
Gino.
Sue Bird might have a say.
Sue Bird built that shit, not
Rebecca
Gino.
Lobo might
Rebecca
have a say.
Rebecca Lobo, WNBA legend, built that. Not. I'll leave you with this.
I hope this is big news for the Mercury. And Brittany Griner, too, right? Hopefully this is big news for her, right? She needs – she could use a team
positivity.
That's behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
My theory on Chris Paul's poor play. It's intentional, and he's trying to get Devin Booker the MVP award. he's being terrible, and it's like, look what this kid can do. Look what this guy's carrying us to do as I shoot 38% from the field. Prove me wrong. But we don't have time for that. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Make sure you check out all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. You're subscribed, you're rating, you're reviewing, all that stuff. Warriors plus minus, anything is potable, down to dunk, no dunks, blue guys, Sixers beat, and the Bun and Cardigan Show, which of course has our friend James Edwards III. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and happy holidays from the folks at Point of Contention.